Welcome to Real Girl Talk Podcast Radio. Welcome back to Real Girl Talk Podcast Radio. I am your host, Sherry Ricard. I am a medical professional, author, adversity recovery specialist, and co-founder of Silver Lining Wellness Company. I love sharing my faith and bringing you fascinating guests, Friday fire messages, thinking outside the box, sharing ideas for business, beauty, and lifestyle abundance, and always committed to keeping it real. Now let's level up and let's dive in. Hey friends, welcome back to Real Girl Talk Podcast Radio. I am your host, Sherry, and I am bringing you an incredible guest, Christy Primmer. She's a trauma counselor turned success coach, teaching women how to stand in their fierce feminine power, becoming confident to create the life they desire using self-care and law of attraction. She's also an author of several books, host of Canadian TV show Women Who Lead. She's also been featured in other networks, ABC, NBC, Fox, and so much more. She's here to fill you up and share with you what she does for other women, and that's empowering them to get back in the driver's seat of their own lives. Hello, Christy. How are you?
Good, Sherry. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I know. We were just chatting for a while, and then I realized, man, we better start recording, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We were getting knee deep into some stuff here. I am super excited to have you. You're absolutely beautiful, and I can tell already that I wished you lived close to me because we would be kind of, we would be those friends, right?
How you absolutely. And you are so beautiful, and I love what you're doing, and just so happy to be here to talk with you.
Thank you. And I'm going to kind of dive into, because you intrigued me because of the trauma counseling. And I was telling you that when my son died and I went and got my certification in grief and really talked to a lot of people over the years in some of the speaking events would pull me aside, or some of the book signings would pull me aside, and they really want to talk about the grief that they've gone through. And I thought, you know, I really was kind of like a trauma counselor and didn't know it, because to me, the biggest trauma that I personally have ever been through is the loss of my son. Mm-hmm. It's not just a trauma that hits you emotionally, but physically and spiritually and all of those things, because you question, why did it happen? And why did it happen to me? And what did I do? Did I do something wrong? Am I being punished? You know, I know after my son passed away, there was a particular mom, one of her sons was very good friends with my son, and she had three other boys. And I'm talking, they could just be like this family model. The dad was nice looking, the mom was beautiful, and all four boys, very athletic and smart, made great grades. And I just remember thinking, well, she's got four.
Yeah.
Why did I lose mine? Mm-hmm. And you catch yourself going, well, that's mean. That's selfish. But we're human. And I remember years ago looking at her going, why does she get all four? Why did I lose mine? Or I used to watch, remember when Cops was big, and we can't have cop shows now because I guess it's violent, but that's for another
whole
show.
Other.
That's for a whole nother show. But I used to watch that, and I would watch these people that would just rob and steal and do drugs and all this stuff. And they would take off in their cars, and the cops are chasing them, and their cars flip. Like my son's truck flipped and it killed him. And their cars will flip five and six times, and they jump out and start running. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, not only did they survive, they could probably compete in the NFL for the run they just made, you know? And it's like, my son was awesome. He didn't steal. He wasn't a junkie. He wasn't a criminal. He wasn't any of these things. He wanted to be a doctor. We talked about him going into the military. He had a 4.2 grade point average, all-star athlete, most attractive of his senior class. Like, what?
Yeah.
And so you question those things. And I think that trauma really kind of wears on you. So I want you to kind of talk to the audience a little bit, because a lot of people are going through a lot of things right now. Finances is a big thing, but we can't forget about the universal emotion of grief. that everybody has it, that love and grief and breakups and all of that's part of grief, right? When you Absolutely. Lose somebody you love, not to death, but maybe in a divorce. So talk to us a little bit about trauma and what you do for people that are going through some type of trauma in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really rewarding. It's really rewarding to be able to hold space for others. Throughout my own life, I've had to deal with a lot of different loss. And I like to meet people with where they're at without any expectation and free of judgment. Really briefly, I had a very traumatic delivery, and my son's 22, but he was born with a very rare physical impairment called Erb's palsy. It's caused by the doctor at birth. And I had to work through a lot of anger at God, anger at the doctor. But I chose not to sue the doctor because I was able to reframe it to the doctor saved my son's life and saved my life. I remember feeling so lonely and so confused, and then feeling guilty about feeling angry at God.
Right.
And so in the work that I do, I can genuinely hold space and say, you know, loss is loss. We have to grieve, you know, when death, physical death separates us from a loved one. There's career loss, there's marital loss, there's, you know, with the dementia that we're seeing on the rise, you know, my grandmother lived with that. We had to grieve the old her. Right. So there's so many different things under the umbrella of grief. And so I love to be able to mentor people through their own healing, free of expectations, free of trying to get through one stage to the other. Grief is not a textbook scenario. I know we're taught that way in our credentials, but grief doesn't have a time frame, and it doesn't have a certain rotary that it goes through. You know, we can circle back at different points. And so I empower women specifically now. I just retired this January as a trauma counselor, but I empower women now through my coaching to create the life they love. And a lot of times we are dealing with grief, but also grief of who they thought they were supposed to be. And so I get to come in from a variety of angles, which always keeps me on my toes, and I'm always learning and helping them bear witness to creating their life with intention.
Tell me what you mean by that, because I wrote that down when you said who they're supposed to be. Is that something that someone has labeled them and they think that they're supposed to be a certain way because that's how they were raised?
Yes.
How do you counsel someone from who they thought they were supposed to be to who they really are?
One of the things that I love to ask them is, what do you want? Or who are you? And a lot of times women are like, I don't know, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a business manager, I'm a, you know, an accountant. And I'm like, no, take your titles that you wear. And some of them you wear very proudly and gratefully. Take those titles off and I'll say their name. So for you, I would say, Sherry, who are you?
Right.
What do you want as a woman? And it's the catalyst for a lot of positive shifts and self-discovery, because a lot of times we're told, you know, we're going to be a nurse, we're going to be a doctor, we're going to be a teacher, we're going to be a ballerina, whatever it might be, because, oh, we look like our grandmother or we're like our aunt. And we have these labels put on us very unintentionally, in a harmful way, I believe, but our families shape us, our teachers shape us, peers. And when we step out from that influence, we literally get close to God and we get to say, who did you create me to be? And I want to be her.
And you know, it's interesting because one thing that I have said over and over is that we were all born on purpose for a purpose. And I had a friend one time ask me, she was like, Sherry, I have no idea what my purpose is. And I thought, oh my gosh, your purpose is so many things, because I can see it from the outside.
Right.
But she didn't know what her purpose was. And I don't know if it's because she was a few years from retirement and then she was going to have to reinvent herself on what she was going to do on a daily, because for the last 30 something years, she's, you know, done this particular pattern and routine every single day. And when you were talking about, you know, Sherry, what do you want? Like, who are you? It's funny because the first thing that we always do is we start labeling ourselves by accomplishments and titles. Right. So if somebody says, send me your bio, what do we put in there? You know, we always put in there, people want to know, well, what have you done? You know, whether you're a graduate of this university, did you go to an Ivy League school? Well, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a host, I'm a medical professional, I'm all these things. And then when you just said, no, who are you? What do you want? It's like, well, I want a purpose-filled life. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm a kind person. I am a wife, but I'm also a sister, and I'm also a daughter and a mother. And, you know, you think about all those different roles. And I think we do put labels on ourselves a lot to be a certain thing, because that's what we're supposed to be. I remember one time, it's funny, because my grandmother, we were in line at Piccadilly, you know, that's what I did after church when I was growing up, and we're in line and my dad was putting something, and I just idolized my dad. I thought my dad was the greatest thing in the world. And my dad would put something on his plate, I guess not thinking like I would put everything on my plate that he put on his plate. And I remember my grandmother, like it was yesterday, she looked over there and she goes, "See, I told you." This was his mom. She says, "I told you, she's just like her father." And so from that moment, I remember identifying myself with my father's personality, where my mom was this nurturer and this caregiver and took care of our whole family. I identified with that type A personality and that strong person mm-hmm. that my dad was, because my grandmother said I was like my dad. Mm-hmm. So I no longer associated with any of my mother's wonderful traits. It began this type A personality. And I found myself, when I left bedside nursing, going into an industry that is male driven. Mm-hmm. I was the only female on my team of 15 men in 5-6 states, you know, and I was always in that arena where I was competing with men, because that's what I chose after I left nursing. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you say that, because I didn't think about it until I just thought about that my grandmother had said that. And I thought, I wonder if I just labeled myself and then became what I thought that I should be, or what I was supposed to be, because that's what she said I was.
Yeah. And we're so influenced at that age, like as we're growing up, and we think the world of usually one parent over another only by default.
Right.
But when someone says, "Oh, you're like your mother, or you're like your father, or you're like your favorite aunt," we take that and we own it.
True.
And we do it subconsciously. Like, we don't, as children, we don't decide, okay, we're going to put our flag in the ground and own it. But we are subjected to that and influenced by it. And so what I love to do is come into a new realm of possibilities with women and ask them to really get to know who they are. If things are aligned and they're on path and they like how they're living, great. And if they don't, well, let's make a few little changes at a time, right? Nothing drastic, but progressively towards more of embodying who they want to be as a woman, as a wife, as a mom, as a business owner, as a speaker, anything, you know?
Right, right. You know, and you hear the term, oh, I just live vicariously through that person. And I never really understood that, because it was like, well, why can't you just accomplish it and do it? And just, why are you living vicariously through them? Why don't you just go do that thing and actually live it?
Exactly. Build your confidence muscle and go do it.
You know, and you hear parents that will, oh, I'm just living vicariously through my son now. You know, I didn't accomplish what I wanted to, so now I'm going to live vicariously through my son. And I guess I kind of get that a little bit, but, you know, I really think that if we all just put our mind to what we really want, and I'm all about writing down goals and vision. I'm huge on vision boards. And some people are like, oh, I don't get the whole vision thing. And I'm like, because it talks about it in the Bible. The verse says, you know, to write it down plain. You're supposed to write down your vision and make it plain. Well, how plainer can you get than a vision board?
Right.
You know, I think everything is created around vision. And I was listening to a sermon this morning. I had a 30-minute drive, and I was listening, and he was talking about, isn't it funny when we want something, we see it everywhere, like a car, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I so bad want this red BMW. And it's like, you don't really see red BMWs until you want it. Mm-hmm. And then you see it everywhere. You see it everywhere. And it's just a trick that your mind plays on you. And you're like, never mind, I don't want it. Everybody's got one. Whereas before, you never saw not one red BMW on the street. And I think it has a lot to do with the mind and how we create that. And you have something that you talk about too, about not manifesting, but you have something where you can talk about building your self-confidence by the law of attraction. So talk about that.
Yeah. So I focus all of my mentorship around self-care and law of attraction. 23 years of working with men, women, and youth taught me that self-care is the most underrated and misunderstood thing out there. Bubble baths and fancy shoes and nails is amazing, but I go deeper. And so I teach that from six pillars. And I outlined it in my latest book, but I want women to understand that, and it says this in the Bible, right? As you thinketh in your heart, you are.
Right.
So
Proverbs 23:7. That's one of my favorite verses.
Boom. If we actually could understand that manifesting was around all, it's talked about in the Bible several times.
Right.
Right. But even deeper than that, if we actually understood that our thoughts are attracting everything into our lives, which is a hard concept at times, because I know for myself, when tragedy has struck or something has happened that I did not want, I don't really understand until I take time to pray about it and understand it, why it happened. But I can own the role that I play in the power of controlling my thoughts. And I use that work because being conscious of what I'm thinking and how I show up and how I treat others, especially starting with myself, changed my life, changed my marriage, changed my family, changed my career success, everything. Wow. And I want women to understand that instead of feeling like a victim to our circumstances or feeling powerless, we can step into the empowered feeling and start taking radical responsibility for our lives. And we start with owning our own thoughts, our hearts. You know, I pray a lot, Lord, cleanse my heart, because sometimes I'm human. Sometimes I have thoughts that I think, "Ooh, you better help me, sweet Jesus."
Oh, I know. Jesus, take the wheel.
Exactly. But when we give ourselves grace and compassion and really get intentional with what we're thinking, who we surround ourselves with, our lives change in the best way.
You're so right. And I want you to give us a little sneak peek into the six pillars, but you touched on something, because one thing that I know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, is the biggest way, if not the most powerful way, that the enemy can attack us is in our mind.
Yes.
And so in the morning, when you wake up, you can immediately start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm already running late. I have to do this. And what did he mean by that? No, I have to see that coworker. And you just start getting attacked. And I learned several years ago that the first thing I had to do when I woke up every morning, hand to heart, gratitude, get up, I spend 15 minutes drinking my coffee with Jesus. I literally do. And people say, what do you mean you drink coffee with Jesus? I drink coffee with Jesus. I will turn on something very inspirational, whether it's a 15-minute podcast with Joyce Meyer. That's one of my favorite, because her podcasts are like 14, 15 minutes every morning, and you get something out of it really quick. And of course, I listen to a lot of different things in my car and audiobooks and all that, and music sometimes, but most of the time I don't. Most of the time I don't, because I need to be able to be filled, just like a gas in your car. I need to be filled up constantly with spiritually and emotionally and with inspiration and empowerment, because it affects your mind. Just like if you're around people that gossip all the time, it's exhausting. Dear. It's like, oh my gosh, shut up already. Like I don't, you know, and sometimes you have to gradually cut yourself away from those people, or somebody that complains about their husband all the time. And what does Joyce Meyer say? Complain and remain, rejoice and rise, you know? And it's true. And I really didn't recognize it, Christy. I did not recognize it until maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that I surrounded myself with people that exhausted me emotionally. And I don't know why, but you just do sometimes. What do? You know, how you cut them off? You just have to gradually move on, I guess. But I want you to tell me a little bit about the six pillars. Give us a little sneak peek into that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in this book, it's broken into six sections: spiritual health, physical health, emotional health, mental health, sexual health, and your financial health. Ooh. I write specifically to women, but a lot of men do enjoy the book. I start off with a confession of something I've struggled with, and then I give a little bit of a story and practical strategies and end each chapter with a prayer for guidance. Why I broke it up into the six pillars is, again, throughout my own life and through my career, I realized that a holistic approach to our wellness is vital, and we have to start with our spiritual wellness. Mm. Are we connected to source? And a lot of times people will say, well, you know, this and this happened to me, so I know God isn't real. And I say to them, I too have had moments where I've been upset with God, and it's been my faith that's led me through it. Mm-hmm. So take your moment, sort it out, build that spiritual muscle, be around people that encourage you to build your faith, not tumble and tear it down. And then the other pillars are really important. I believe, you know, our physical health and our emotional wellness, our self-regulation is important, our sexuality and taking care of our health, and sharing ourselves in a sacred way. And that's why I love working with young girls, because I really feel like a lot of girls make decisions based on wanting to feel needed and wanted, not from a place of wholeness and worthiness. Right. And we do as women as well, but I love speaking with the teen girls, but our financial wellness as well, Sherry, like good people who make good money do good things with that money. And God wants us to live an abundant life. And it's time exactly. women stop apologizing for wanting to have a luxurious, fulfilled life.
Right.
That's our birthright. That's what was right. given to us. And the more we can bless others, even better. So I love breaking it into those pillars, because I feel like people grasp it in a different way. They start to understand it a little differently and how they build on one another. Mm-hmm. Different seasons of our lives. Sherry, we need to look at different pillars, right? And right. It's been really interesting to see the results of women implementing the strategies and the techniques and how their lives have shifted.
You know, why do we do that financially? Some people say, well, you know, they don't want to talk about the things that they have, because I know people, some Christian women will hide things that they have, material things that they have, because they feel like they shouldn't have those. Mm-hmm. Or people will make, you know, examples out of some ministers that have all of these things, you know, and it's like, I can't judge somebody off of the car that they drive or the house that they're in, because they have a platform, right? They have a platform where they can actually bring people to yeah. God, but they also have their own personal things that they do, and they can use that platform because they're very well known. You know, yeah. I'll use Joel Osteen as an example. I had somebody say, you know, Joel drives a $200,000 car. I don't know if that's true or not, but I really don't care. But him. I also know that when he wrote his first book, he sold 1 million copies, yes. you know, and he also made it very clear that all the money, personal money that he's made off of what he's done, he ties back into his own church, which if you see everything that they do for not just the community in Houston, but all around the world, yes. you know, it's really hard to judge. And I think a lot of that comes from jealousy, because it's like things that people can't do, but mm-hmm. I don't judge. I know there's a lot of women in ministry, hype in ministry, that do very well on mm-hmm. personal things that they have. Some women have skincare lines. Some people yep. have jewelry stores, or they write books, or, you know, they may have own boutiques, and so they're not allowed to have their own income because they right. are women of ministry. So I don't get that. I really don't understand, except for it goes back to the enemy being able to use those things to kind of keep us away from those that are sharing the word of God. But yeah. besides all of those, just normal everyday people feel that they have to hide things that mm-hmm. they have because they fear that jealousy, or they feel like that they shouldn't have those things.
Yes.
How do you get somebody through that? Because I see that a lot.
Absolutely. I've lived it numerous times. Very quick Reader's Digest version. I was married very young. The first time I had my son at 21, mm-hmm. went through a brutal divorce at 23, found myself in a women's shelter, on the floor on my hands and knees, just crying to Jesus, please, please give my son and I a miracle. Please, if you give me a miracle, God, I will spend my life building women up. So here I am fulfilling my mission and my promise to God. Wow. And I love to talk to women about owning their greatness and owning their worthiness and steering clear of naysayers and insecure women that aren't healed, or men, because when we're happy inside, we're happy for others. And when we see a woman doing well, let it be inspiration for us of what is possible. I've had a lot of women say to me, oh, must be nice. You've got that fancy car. Must be nice. They don't know my backstory. They just judge me by what they see now. Right. And I use it as a teaching tool, Sherry. And I'll say, you know, have you ever struggled with something and it was a secret? You tried to hide it because you were ashamed. I'm like, that's how I lived. You know, I literally had moments I couldn't afford milk as a single mother.
Right.
Fast forward, I'm very gratefully, happily married 16 years to my soulmate and a man of Christ. We have a beautiful family. He adopted my son and raises him as my own, our perfect family of three that I always wanted. Thank you, God. And I teach women, let's take the judgment off of ourselves so we aren't judging others. Let's stop projecting our insecurities onto others. And when we see women doing well, let's shout them out and share them out and praise God, because if it can happen for her, it can happen for you.
I love that so much, because I am so with you, because, you know, I have not really shared this story I haven't shared it with my audience. I know there's a couple of very close friends I've had since I was 15 that know this story. But when I was married before, I found myself in a similar situation. And you said, well, I couldn't afford milk as a single mom. I could barely afford milk as a married mom. Mm. And, you know, my first husband lost one job after another. He'd get laid off and laid off and laid off, and found ourselves moving in with my parents when my son, Bryant, the one that passed away when he was one, and my daughter was three. And I remember feeling, because I didn't grow up that way, right? Mm-hmm. So I grew up a little on the spoiled side where daddy gave me everything. I had a brand new car in my driveway when I was 14 and not able to drive yet, waiting on my driver's license. And so that's how I grew up. But then I marry someone that has me in a situation where here I am. I ended up not finishing college when I should have, or when I thought I should have. And now I'm married with two kids and I'm moving back in with my parents another state away. And for the first time in my life, I understood what government assistance was. I was like, what is government assistance?
Like, and it almost feels like it's surreal, right? Because you're like, how is this my life?
Well, and the thing was, it was like, I ended up being on the WIC program where you can go and you get so much, you can buy so much with the WIC stamps or whatever. I can't remember. It's been so long ago, 30 something years ago. But I remember driving, we were in this little town where my parents were, and I would drive outside of the town and go to a grocery store that took this WIC card, because I didn't want anybody to recognize me. I was so embarrassed and so mortified by that. And I remember thinking, I will never, ever have to depend on a man again. I'm going back to school.
Amen.
I am going back to school. And I remember driving back to my mom's house and I said, Mom, I need some help. I don't know what to do. I thought about law school. I thought about nursing. I thought about real estate. I'd only had 2 years of college and, you know, left college to get married and ended up pregnant within a year. And here I was with two babies, basically three in one, back home with my parents and my husband. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with my life? And just being on the WIC program put me in a mindset of, this is not who I am. And this is not who I want to be. And I do not want this for my kids. And girl, within 5 days, I had enrolled into the college. It was a local college. It was a little community part of the University of Arkansas. But it was just the smaller version of it, Southern Arkansas University at the time. And I walked in and I was like, who can I talk to about getting into a nursing program? And she said, come on in. I signed up that day. And do you know, because my husband didn't make any money, my school was paid for, and I had an extra $600. I'll never forget. I've never told this story. I had an extra $640 that they gave me for going to school, and which paid for my kids to go to a Mother's Day Out program while I was in school. So they didn't have to just sit, you know, with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I never stopped. I enrolled, I made the dean's list for the first time in my life and graduated in nursing. And smartest thing I have ever done. And I'm going to tell you, when I hear these little girls go, "Oh God, nursing school's so hard," I'm like, "Sister, try it with two babies going to two different daycares, because one daycare couldn't take them. And, mm-hmm. and then do it, go and do clinicals for 12 hours and study until 2 a.m. and getting up and doing it again. I don't want to hear about how hard it is for you in your little pink puff room with your parents paying you bills."
Yes. Oh, I love that you shared that. How many people have you just touched? Because we are very parallel in our experiences. And, you know, when you said you would never live like that again.
Yeah.
That was the commitment I made to my son. I made it to he was just a 2-year-old, but I made it to myself. I made it to God. And
yeah.
And I remember saying, because I had to move back into my parents when I was going through my divorce. And I remember saying, "I will never live like my son is going to have everything he could ever imagine and more."
Yeah.
Especially love, of course, through my efforts and working and sometimes 2 or 3 jobs at once and sleepless nights and grinding.
Yes.
I've been able to achieve a lot of success. And so when people, back to the judgment piece, when people judge, I've made peace with my efforts, and I know God wants me to live a good life. He wants you to live a good life. He wants us all to. The decision is up to us.
You're so right. I am so glad. It's so crazy that you brought that out of me, because I've never shared that. Not that I was hiding it. I just haven't thought about it in 30 something years. And then, you know, fast forward to today, without me going through that struggle, I would have never enrolled into nursing school. And nursing school has brought me so many opportunities. And here I've been in corporate America for, you know, 15 years, and being able to have such success that I've had, and being able just to have this platform to share a story and share other people's stories. Yeah. Anything's possible. Anything is possible if you put your mind to it. And let me tell you, there was nothing easy about anything that I went through. But I think back now, I would have never done what I had done. And I think that my kids watching me work and be dedicated, yet having the time that I did for them with little sleep, my daughter, I think it has a lot to do with the way that my daughter has an incredible work ethic. She's an amazing mom. And that's, she saw me studying for years and then she saw me working. And it may have something to do with the fact that, you know, I did spoil my kids. I don't think that they are spoiled rotten, but I did make sure that I could give them everything I possibly could while teaching them how to be humble and be able to be grateful for everything that you have, because I never wanted to be ever in that situation again. But I'm not married to that person anymore, but I've been married to my husband now for 24 years. And I will tell you, I've never had to depend on him. I could, and I have for other things, but I kept my commitment that I never had to depend on a man financially ever again in my entire life. And I never will. I put myself in that situation. And with God's grace, I am where I am today because of it, you know? So you drive that car, girl, you drive whatever you want to drive.
And I laugh. People will say, "Oh, your husband let him," 'cause we have a few different vehicles, but this is a sports car that you can only drive in certain weather. That's why I'm in Florida right now. And people will say, "Oh, your husband let you drive his car." I'm like, "My husband can't afford this car, honey." And he laughs, because, and your husband probably feels the same. Men love empowered women.
Oh, he's
men want to provide in different ways, of course, but when a woman is doing good work and making good money, they're proud of us.
Oh yes. No, he's very proud. And, you know, and two, I think that it's important. My daughter will never have to, she has a wonderful husband, but she doesn't have to depend on him. She could stand on her own if she needed to stand on her own. And also, I think it's made my son, my youngest son, has seen me. He's only 22. So he has seen me work my entire life and build things and create companies and do the things that that I've done and my husband and I've done together. And he expects that. So, you know, he has a girlfriend in his life now. And one of the things, the requirements for you to be able to date my son is you have to have some type of ambition, because my son's very successful in what
he does. You're speaking my language.
And he's like, you have to have some ambition. Like, he loves to provide and he loves to help people. He's 22 and very, very stable and successful at 22. But he expects you to have an ambition and a goal for your life. He doesn't want to be depended on. And I think that's because he's, you know, he has just seen us the way that, that we have raised him. And, and we did, we spoiled him. We gave him a lot of things, but he saw how hard we worked for it. And he's always been appreciative, you know? So I think it's, and you're in Florida. So I'm just a little jealous. We had a home in Florida for a couple of years and we love Florida.
Well, I can only be here up to 6 months a year, you know, because I'm Canadian. I'm so grateful. And even that, you know, when I lost my dad 8 years ago, I vowed to my husband, we are going to live our lives now. My dad was 65 when he passed away. And I said to my husband, we're not saving up for one day. We're going to live now. And we continue to be blessed. And our son, our sons would get along because he has an amazing girlfriend. And he'll say to her, you know, I want you to have your own career. I want you to get your education. I want you to have success. He's like, do you know who my mother is and how she And he's empathetic and kind too, but I will always spoil my son rotten till the day, till my last breath, you know?
I think as long as they're appreciative and they do good works, obviously you've sowed a lot of seeds into other people, which has given you the harvest, right? So I think we reap what we sow, not just financially, but the way we treat people and the things that we do for people. You know, I know people that'll gather up when they clean out their closet and they immediately go and find somebody in need to donate it to. That's sowing a seed. You know, if you're spending time with your elderly grandma or your grandpa for 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday because they love for you to come and you're just cleaning their house, or, you know, that's sowing a seed. There are so many other ways we can sow seeds into people. And the seeds that you sow, you get back. So if you're sowing bad seeds, if you're sowing things into people that are negative and you're mistreating and you're being a bully and you're not spending time with the people that you should, those are the seeds that are, you are going to reap. And what you're going to reap is not going to look good. It's not going to come back good on you. So you've obviously sowed a lot of really good seeds. And I think when our kids see us do that, you know, it's important as parents, when our kids see us sowing seeds into other people, because I think every day we should wake up and say, okay, Lord, I thank you for your blessings today. I'm expecting them because your word says that I can expect those blessings, but also please show me who I can be a blessing to. You know, you should go out expecting favor and you should go out and give favor every single day. And we reap what we sow, and that's our harvest. You know, and I think that my son knows that, and your son obviously knows that as well. And as parents, that's what we need to teach our kids. You know, we have to be there for other people, but we can also be appreciative of the things that, that we have and be okay with it. Feel that's good about it. We shouldn't be ashamed because we want to drive a convertible Mercedes, you know. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. I drove one for several years till my company gave me a free little SUV. And I said, I told my, my daughter says, Mom, you're going to drive that car. I said, heck yeah, it's free.
Exactly. Blessings.
I was like, you know what I like about my car? It's free.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The gas is free. The car is free. The maintenance is free. I was like, the insurance is free. Yes. I love my car. Thank you, Jesus.
Celebrate that.
Christy, it's been a blessing talking to you and meeting you. Tell everybody where we can get your book, the name of your book, and where we can get it.
Yeah. So the name of the book is Confessions of a Self-Care Junkie, A Woman's Journey to Loving Herself and Living Free. And you can get it pretty much anywhere books are sold. You can get it at Amazon. It's published through a division of Hay House Publishing. And just, I'm so grateful for this time with you, Sherry, to continue to support you and your work. And this podcast is changing lives. So thank you. You're sowing a lot of seeds. Oh,
thank you. I appreciate that. I accept that because that's my prayer every day, that I'm doing the right thing and I have the right guest and we're reaching the right people. And, mm-hmm. you know, I tell everybody, share this show. The number one way that you can be a blessing to someone is if you get something out of the episode, that means somebody else is too. And so be a blessing and share the show. So, and that's easy. That's free, right? And that is a seed. That's sowing a seed into somebody else. And that's a free seed to sow and you will get it back. So tell everybody where we can find you too on social media.
Yeah. So Instagram is where I love to hang out. I'm at Christy_Primmer and all the links, you know, to my website, to my books, to some bunch of free content is all there. And I would love to hear the listeners' takeaways. I can't wait to share you with my audience too, Sherry, but I love interacting with upbeat, faith-driven, gorgeous, fun women. And I love this time with you. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Christy. And I do too. I feel the same exact way. We'll have to have you come back on later in 2023 too, because I like to have a repeat of some of my guests, especially those where I get a lot of really cool feedback. I like to have them back because I know that we're touching people that we need to touch. And that's what it's all about. The end of the day, we're living in our purpose. And if you don't know what your purpose is, ladies, you can message Christy and talk to her. And you can also message me because our goal is to make sure that we are filling women up the way we feel filled up every single day. And we'll be happy to share our stories on how we got there. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in all the way through Real Girl Talk Show. Make sure you subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you happen to have iTunes, would you do me a favor and leave me a review on the show? I know you're going to leave me a 5-star, right? That's the way that I can reach more and more people around the world. Remember, whatever you wish to receive, you have to first give. And I know that you're the kind of person that wants to reach people all over the world and inspire them. You can copy this link and share it with your family and friends. Share it on social media. Remember, people need to be uplifted and inspired more than ever today. Thank you so much for being a part of Real Girl Talk community. And until next time, go after your dreams, create your vision, and truly be the person God intended you to be. Healthy, happy, whole, and full of life. Love you.